Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the 10-4 Show. This week in Episode 8, we're going to introduce the set of new features and functionality that are coming along with the ASP.NET Ajax 4.0 release. So there's two things that I want to address in this week's episode, the first of which is the misconception that some have had that ASP.NET Ajax is very server-centric and really without web forms and the script manager control, it isn't usable. So I want to really address and kind of drive home the point in this episode that ASP.NET Ajax is no different than any other JavaScript library, such as jQuery or Prototype, and that it's just a collection of JavaScript files that you can reference from whatever your web development platform is, whether that be ASP.NET, PHP, or just a standard HTML file. So really, it is a very much client-centric development platform. It's just that WebForms happens to provide a set of server components that make integration of the two much more seamless. So in addition, I also want to touch on the set of new features that are coming in ASP.NET Ajax 4.0, primarily around the areas of the ADO.NET data services integration, the client templates, and the binding and data view control, which when used together, make it very easy to build a powerful data-centric application, where you can retrieve data from the server, bind it to UI, and then make changes and persist them back to the server as well. So with that, let's go ahead and jump into a demo and see how these features look and how you can start implementing them in your applications today. So in order to demonstrate the new functionality of ASP.NET Ajax 4.0, we're going to build a pretty typical master details scenario where we're going to display a list of all customers in the AdventureWorks database and allow the user to select a customer in the list, modify the details for that customer, and then simply push those changes back to the server. So as you can see, I've already got a basic shell of the UI built out, but it doesn't actually do anything. So we want to leverage the new ADO.NET data services integration as well as client templates and binding of ADO.NET Ajax 4.0 to actually fill this in with some behavior. So in this application, I've already got an entity data model, which is mapping my application back to our AdventureWorks database. So in this case, I've already got my customer entity. This is what we're going to leverage. So this is going to be our data access option in this demo. In addition, I've also got an ADO.NET data service that is going to expose my customer data through the AdventureWorks context that was generated from our entity data model. So I've set up access rules so that all entities are accessible through the service, and this will be our entry point for our Ajax application to retrieve and persist changes to customer data. So the UI for this application, as you notice, is implemented as an HTML file. So once again, just to reiterate, no server-side controls, not even an ASPX page. So this demo is going to completely use nothing but the JavaScript files that ASP.NET Ajax provides. So notice here they are. Here's the four script files that I'm currently using the debug versions of. And in addition, I'm also going to be using jQuery for some additional functionality later on in the demo. And then I've got a CSS file and a custom JavaScript file. So the first thing that we want to do is populate this list of customers with customer data from our service. So we've already got the data service, so we know we can retrieve that data. So all we need is the piece that retrieves that from the service in JavaScript and then somehow binds it to a list in the table that we have right here. So the first thing we need to do is figure out how is it that we can define a template in this HTML that allows us to signify how we want to bind our customer data to the UI. So what we can do is using the new client-side templates in Ajax 4.0 is we can specify our template and the way we want it laid out in HTML, which makes it significantly easier to define. Then, within the HTML of our template, we can define bindings that specify where we want portions of the data to go within the template. So for instance, in the most simplistic scenario, we can say, using this curly brace syntax, that we want to bind the value of the title property of the customer class that's bound to this template in the text node of this TD. So let's go ahead and make a cell for all the different properties we're interested in. First name, middle name, last name, and suffix. And that's all we have to do. So we've now defined our template as being a t-body that will repeat a table row with 5 cells for every customer that's bound to it. Then within those 5 cells, it will place the title, first name, middle name, last name, and suffix property values in that template. Now, in order for us to instantiate this as a template, we need to be able to target it from JavaScript. So let's go ahead and give this an ID. We'll call it customers template. Right? Because right now, all this is HTML. So it's with ASP.NET Ajax that allows us to abstract this HTML into a template that can be repeated into a dynamic generated UI. So let's go to our script. And we need to add 2 things to the initialization of this page. The first is that we need some object that can connect to the data service and is capable of pulling down client or customer data. And then the second is we need to instantiate a data view control that targets the client template we just made and binds the customer data to it. So the first thing we're going to do is create an instance of a new class introduced in Ajax 4.0 called sys.data.adonetDataContext. And this is our connection and change tracker and persistence mechanism for our data service. Now the only property that we really need to set here is the service URI. And in our scenario, the service URI is simply adventureworks.svc because that's the name of our data service. And that's all we have to do. There's other options you can set, but in the most basic scenario, that's really all there is to it. So now what we need to do is create an instance of a data view that targets our client template that we define in our HTML. So we'll say, let's create a new sys.ui.dataViewControl. So now this data view control is going to be what represents the generation of our client template for every customer that we retrieve from the data service. So a couple properties we need to set. First is the data provider. Now the data provider is, as its name implies, an object that provides data to the data view. So in this case, it's our data context. We could also use WCF or any other arbitrary object that would provide data to the data view here. So the second thing we need to do is specify what is the query that we want to execute against the data provider. So because we're using data services, which is resource-centric, we simply want to target the customer's entity set. So that's our query. Now, optionally, we can also specify query parameters, which accepts an arbitrary JSON object of key value pairs that signify the parameter name and parameter value. So in this case, we'll say, using data service syntax, give me the top 10 customers and order them by first name. So the $top and $order by are special parameter names that data service recognizes, and we're simply able to pass those parameters to the request to the data service. So now let's go ahead and say no events, no references, and the client template that we're targeting is called customers template. So now that's all we have to do. So if we were to run this application right now, go ahead and refresh this. We should expect to see a list of customers, but as you can see, we have this ugly row that displays the double curly brace syntax that we defined as the template. Now, the reason for that is because of the fact that if we go back to our page, that template is actually HTML, so it's going to be displayed as we see. So what we want to do is hide the template from the user until the point where the template is actually bound to, at which point there would be actual data and valid rows. So the convention that ASP.NET Ajax uses for client templates is that it says that you should put a class name on your template called sys-template. Now there's nothing magical about sys-template. In fact, if I go look at my CSS file, you'll notice that all it does is set display none on the template. So it's hiding it from the user. But that special name will be looked for by ASP.NET Ajax, and that once the binding process is complete, it will check, is there a class name on the template called sys-template? If there is, it'll remove it, which in this case effectively redisplays the template. So with that change, let's go back, hit F5, and see if we get our list of customers. And here we do. So with just a few lines of code and our nice HTML template, we've now got functionality that's pulling all customers from our data service and displaying it in a nice list. Now, you might notice that we've got this really ugly null text in the suffix as well as middle name, and then we've got this blank value here in for Alice Clark. Now, the reason for that is because the value of those properties is actually null. So what we need to do is specify that for those fields, we want to have a custom value converter that is able to look at the data and modify it as appropriate. So the way we do that is by using the long form version of the binding. So right now, by using the double curly braces, that's kind of a shorthand for saying bind to this data. But the long form of a binding actually looks like this. So either both are equivalent for the most part. There are exceptions. But just for the sake of an explanation, this is a binding that's very simple, but this is the exact same thing. Now, the reason why we would use this form of the binding is that we can specify additional options for the binding. So in this case, I want to say, when you bind to this property, convert the value by calling the null converter function. And what the null converter function will allow us to do is examine the data and modify it as necessary. So let's go ahead and define that on the title, middle name, and suffix properties, since those three aren't actually required. Now, in order to actually create this, we simply need to make a JavaScript function called nullConverter. It's going to only take one parameter, the actual value of the data it's converting. So let's go ahead and move that back. So what we're going to simply do is say return value is equal to null, or value is equal to empty string. So if it's null or empty, go ahead and just return a space. And the reason for that is because the table cell, its border will collapse if the cell contains nothing. So otherwise, we'll simply return the value. So this just allows us to have an additional say in modifying the data before it's bound. So let's go ahead back to our app, hit F5. And notice now that we have our nice clean cells. So that's the way you can use a converter in this case, which is just one of many options that come with bindings. So one other thing we want to do is have a nice alternating row with this list. So what we can do is use what's called a conditional attribute in ASP.NET Ajax 4.0, which allows us to use an expression to conditionally apply an attribute value to an element in a template. So what we want to do is say, if the index of the current data item is odd, then apply the class name of odd to that table row. So this $index is a special parameter value that you have within the context of a template, which is equal to the index of the template item, so 0 based through however many items are on the list. So then by doing this syntax, we're saying if this expression evaluates to true, then put odd as the class name of this TR. So let's go ahead and save that, hit F5 to refresh, and we should get a nice alternating list of items. So finally, because we want the ability to select these rows in this list, we need to add a command to the table row in this template. So we can do that by saying sys command equals select. Now, select is typically an arbitrary command that will bubble up to all parent elements in the DOM, but because of the fact that we're using a data view for our template, the data view class recognizes the select command and will interpret it as an item selection. So now anytime you click on the table row, it will automatically select that record. Now, in order for us to actually show that selection in the UI, we have to do a few things with the data view. So we want to set two properties. One is the selected item class, and this is just the CSS class that will be added to the item when it's selected, or i.e. the select command was fired on it. And then secondly, we want to set an initial selected index to 0. That way, when you first load the page, it'll automatically select the first row. So with those changes, let's go back, hit F5. And as you can notice, it automatically selects the first row. And I can click on any other subsequent table row, and it will select that as well. Perfect. All right, so now we've got our list, retrieving customers from the data service. Now we need to wire up this list to this form so that whenever I make a selection, it will bind to the form. So the way we do that is the exact same way we did the list. So if we go back to our HCM page, we'll notice that what we can do is instead of setting binding expressions within the text node of a cell, we can also set binding expressions within the value of an attribute. So for these three text boxes, let's just go ahead and set the value to the binding of their respective property. So we'll say value binding first name, value binding middle name, and value binding last name. All right. So lastly, let's give this div an ID. We'll call it customer template. Once again, we'll hide it by setting the sysTemplate class. And let's also go ahead and replace this customer name header with the value of the first name plus a space plus the last name, just to make it look a little bit nicer. So now with our client template in place, we need to go and actually instantiate that template in JavaScript. So let's go ahead and do another creation of a data view. So we'll say create sys.ui.dataView. Now in this case, because we're not going to be binding the data view to any type of data provider, we're going to just go ahead and set properties to null, events to null, references to null, and simply set the target of it to customer template. Now the reason for this is because what we actually want to do is we want to bind the data, that property of the customer template, to the selected data property of the customer's list. So that's where we can introduce the notion of a binding. So in order to use a binding imperatively as we are doing, what we can do is go ahead and do create sys.binding, and the properties of the binding will be that the source of the binding will be our customer's template. The path of the binding is its selected data property. The target of the binding is the customer template, and then the target property of that is data. So instead of setting a data provider as we did with the customer's template, we can alternatively just set the data property, which is just handing off any arbitrary data to a data view. So effectively what we've done with this binding right here is said, anytime the selected data property changes on the customer's template, automatically update the data property of the customer template with that same value. So now, because of the fact that we have the initial selected index of the data view to 0, when we load this page, it should automatically bind the customer form with the value of the first record, as you can see it did. So now, if I select any other record, you'll notice that it should change that value. And it does, right? Because it's now bound together. Now you notice in the first name that because we didn't set the custom converter, that it's going to display null there. So we could set that and fix that problem. Now what I want to display is the fact that these two are now bound together in two-way directional. In that if I go and change the first name of Abraham to just Abe, notice that when I mouse out, it actually does not update the first name. Now the reason for that is because I don't have two-way binding enabled on the list. So if I go back to my HTM, remember how I said that there isn't a difference between the long-form binding and the short-form binding? Well, that is true. That isn't exactly true in the sense that the short form of binding defaults to one-time binding, which means it's bound once and is never updated live. Whereas the short form binding will default to, or the long form binding will default to one way, which means whenever the source is updated, it will automatically also update the target. So what we want to do is specify the long name for, or the long form for all of the bindings in the list. Now we alternatively could have done this and said mode is equal to two-way, but we don't actually have to be that explicit in this form. So let's go ahead and rerun this. So now when we select a customer in the list and modify the data in the form, it should also modify the data in the list. So with Abigail Gonzalez selected, let's change her name to Abby, tab out, and notice that it's now changed it to Abby in the list because the two are bound together. Now let's also click on Alexander, change his name to Alex, or Aslix, tab out, and notice that once again it's updated. So the final thing that we want to do is make it where when we click this update button, it actually pushes all the changes that we've made back to the service. And we can do that very simply, using commands as well as the data context. So notice, I bound the last name of the customer to the button instead of the text box here as I should have. So let's go ahead and fix that. But what we want to do is when you click the update button, we want to trigger the command called update. And this is just an arbitrary name. It doesn't actually mean anything. But what this effectively is doing is whenever you click this update button, it will trigger the command event on the data view. So now back in our code, let's go ahead and wire up the command event for our customer template. So we'll just simply say command is equal to customer command. So let's create that customer command function. And like any other event handlers in ASP.NET Ajax, it'll take a sender and an args. Now we actually don't care about either of those two parameters because the only thing that we want to do is in the command, we want to then say save the changes that have occurred in the data context. So let's go ahead and make this global so that it can be accessed outside of the scope of the initialization function. And within the customer command event handler, we're going to just say dataContext.saveChanges. And that's it. So let's go ahead and run this application. And let's modify one of the customers in the list. So for instance, let's change Abigail's last name to, instead of Gonzalez, we'll call it, or we'll just throw a Y at the end. So it updates it in the list here. If we click Update, let's go ahead and close and rerun the application just to make sure that it actually did save changes. So now let's rerun it, and Abigail's last name should be, as it is, Gonzalez. Now the reason that works is because the data context that we're using to bind to our data views is providing change tracking functionality automatically. So whenever we make a change in the form here, because it's bound to the data context, it's actually making live changes back to it. So as soon as we then call save changes in the command event handler, when you click the button using command bubbling, we can simply call save changes and allow it as a unit of work to push those changes back to the service. So this allows us to not have to worry about figuring out what changes actually happened. So now with this, what we can do is let's go ahead and just for kicks, let's go ahead and add on one final piece, right? Because now that jQuery is fully supported and going to be included in Visual Studio 2010, let's throw a little jQuery love on here. So let's call this table customer list. And after we do a binding, let's do $ customer list, and let's call the custom column filters plugin method. So now let's rerun this page, and notice that I've got these nice filters above each column, and as I type, it's going to filter the data. So the reason I showed this is just to kind of illustrate the fact that ASP.NET Ajax and jQuery really do integrate nicely together, and that you can rely on the strengths of each one. So with both jQuery and ASP.NET Ajax 4.0, as you can see, the development of truly client-side applications using JavaScript becomes pretty easy, right? In that using the new ADONet Data Context class, the sys.ui.dataView, as well as binding and command bubbling, you're able to build pretty rich data-centric applications pretty simply.
In summary, now that we've seen a little brief demo of ASP.NET Ajax 4.0 in action, hopefully some of you see and like the new features that are coming and can start to see that really it is a very good option for serious client-side web development, in that with new functionality like the data view, client templates, bindings, etc., really the ASP.NET Ajax isn't something that can only be leveraged with web forms. In that if you want to use the script manager and the update panel and ASP.NET web forms, you can, but if you want to leverage ASP.NET Ajax from just a regular HTML file or even a PHP application, you can, because all it is JavaScript files that you're leveraging on the client side. Right, so the server-side web framework really doesn't even matter at that point. So if you like what you saw, I would definitely encourage everyone to go out and grab the bits off of codeplex.com/asp.net. Everything I showed in the demo is publicly available and can be used with Visual Studio or whatever your favorite IDE is for web development. So in addition to that, I hope that everyone continues to tune in to the 10-4 show. Once again, there is the link if you want to subscribe to the show. Or if you have any comments or feedback, please feel free to email us and let us know any new topics you want us to dive into or just any general comments you'd like to leave. So with that, thank you once again for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.